Amen. Let's turn in our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I am presuming that it's been warm enough for everybody lately. Some of us have felt the effects more than others of the warmth. I am not a big air conditioning user, but I don't know, I might change my mind. I lived in Florida growing up for 3.5 years, and you can't function without air conditioning in Florida, but I don't know, maybe my blood just got used to it, because coming back to Michigan, it just never seemed like it was that hot. Maybe it's just me getting old, maybe it is, I don't know. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love, your goodness, your long-suffering, and Lord, that we would just be continually mindful of just your mercy, moment by moment, day by day, and just how you take care of us, provide for us. Lord, there's times in our lives when we just wonder, you know, how is this going to work out? How are you going to take care of this? But Lord, you do. And we just praise you for that. And just help us to have the faith in the midst of the different situations where we're unsure what's going to happen, Lord, just to trust you, knowing, Lord, that you're going to work things out to bring yourself glory. We just thank you for the privileges to be able to gather here this morning. We do pray, Father, just to have humility and a broken and contrite heart, that you might work in us, Lord, that we can be better equipped and better useful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. Going to talk a little bit this morning about perfection, being perfect, different things in this, from the Bible about being perfect. I'm trusting that that's all of our the goal that all of us have. You know, we want to do the right thing. We want to be perfect. We want to serve the Lord. We want to do right by others. sometimes it's more challenging than others. Different situations we encounter. You know, this week we've got about two-thirds days of school left. Tuesday, Wednesday, noon on Thursday. And then time for the summer. But you know, this last week of school, some kids like to do silly things, you know. We try to remind them. And we have very few issues with it, to be honest with you. But still, you know, some people, they want to bring shaving cream and silly string and different things like that. You know, but in the midst of those situations, we just got to handle it correctly. And then you always get the question, well, what happens if I do something really bad in the last day of school? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Well, kids don't realize that you can get suspended for the first few days of next year. But, you know, they don't see that far off, generally. But, you know, we face all kinds of circumstances in our jobs, and our families, and so forth. But God's goal for us is to be perfect. And here in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And it starts with the Word of God. It starts with the Word of God. You know, must have been a couple years ago now, we went through a series on why the Bible needs to be our sole, S-O-L-E, only authority. And one of them is because we cannot be saved apart from the Word of God. We cannot grow apart from the Word of God. There's all kinds of reasons. But another reason is we can't be perfect without it. We can't do anything right without it. And so the Scripture is the key, but at the beginning point is God Himself. And let's turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And verse 4. It all starts with God Himself. Because if God Himself wasn't perfect, He could not get us a perfect book through which to know Him. But He is perfect. In Deuteronomy 32. Verse 4 says, He is the rock, His way is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. In America, through music, Hollywood, whatever, people have a distorted view of God. They have a distorted view of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just think Jesus is just another man, good teacher maybe, sacrificed himself maybe, but it's all distorted. God is perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes at all. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. He doesn't ever sin, ever. Just and right is he at all times. Psalm 18. Psalm chapter 18. And something perfect is required to make something perfect. You know, our most diligent attempt to make something flawless only needs a more discerning eye to figure out that it's not. I mean, we're all human. But in Psalm 18, in verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And that right there is the foundational key. What do we trust in? Do we know he's perfect and he is worthy of our trust? Or do we waver sometimes with things? We all face difficult situations, all of us at various times. Psalm 145, let's go there real quick. We face difficult situations. You know, our faith is tried. We wonder what is the Lord going to do here? But, you know, the Bible teaches us to walk by faith, not by sight. And it's really important to make sure that we know the object of our faith, that he is perfect in whatever we're dealing with. Psalm 145 and verse 17. Psalm 145, 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And it's important that we realize sin in the world is not God's fault. The fact that it came into the world is not his fault. The fact that it ever happens is not his fault. When we have a struggle, it's not his fault. It's our fault. It's our fault. And it's important to know in all the circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in, God's good. God's good. As Brother Jim was mentioning, the guy that had the play fall on him. You know, you think, wow, I mean, that is life-changing. You know, that'd be tragic. The situation with Ryan Bruce, you know, with the car accident. You know, and it's those kind of things, especially when it's somebody really, really close to us. I mean, think of Ryan's family. You know, think of the family of the gentleman who was, you know, badly hurt in the construction deal. We start questioning things. But we have to come back to what we put our faith in. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we have to hold on to those things because, you know, it's easy at times to let our minds go. And then they go from one question about God to another question about God to another question about God. And before we know it, we're a basket case. You know, we're kind of going crazy in our minds wondering how could this happen? Well, it's not God's fault. Because the Bible is really clear. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And it goes back to so much of what I talked to the guys out there at the sheriff's camp about. What is your authority? What is your authority? What is my authority? What is the authority for any of us? And so often, the thoughts of our heart creep in, our own reasoning creeps in. It's got to be simple faith. Brother Jim had heard this radio show while he was traveling, and the rapture is going to occur May 21st, 2011. And you know what? It's so one verse. I mean, no man knoweth. But you know, they got this, you know, pamphlet here, and it's, you know, I don't know. It's I guess what's not 8.5 by 11, what is it, 11 by 17 piece of paper it looks like here, and got a lot of, you know, figures on here and different things. You know what? No man knoweth. It's that simple. But what we do in our own situations is, I'm going to take that and study it a little bit, though. Because, you know, people have questions. Hopefully people have questions about that. We can answer them for them. But 99, well, you know, what's that one shirt? 5 out of 4 people have trouble with fractions, you know. 5 out of 4 times, it's just a simple Bible verse that answers the questions. You know, every time, it's a simple Bible verse. But we want to complicate it. We want to complicate it. While we're here in Psalm, let's go to 19, Psalm 19. You know, and we're famous. You know, we've got, well, what about this and what about that? And, you know, did you think of this? And no man knoweth the day or the hour. I mean, it's just simple Bible teaching. You know, the Bible says there's simplicity in Christ. You know, and when you have to have a certain religious, you know, when you have to, like, have a big system to prove what you believe, like Calvinism does, it should raise a red flag. It should raise a red flag because it's just simple Bible teaching. You know, we're aware of a certain person who is basically a Calvinist. And we were trying to talk to them about the situation. I might have mentioned this before at some time, but we were trying to talk to them about it a little bit. Well, and the person said, well, you just read this passage right here only. Don't look any place else in the Bible to understand what you believe about predestination is what it was. And it's like, well, how can I do that? Then I'm disobeying what God says, because God says you prove Scripture with Scripture. You know, but that's what happens sometimes when people get off in false teaching. They end up, I mean, they don't think things through any longer. But God is perfect. God is perfect. And also the Scriptures are perfect. Psalm 19 and verse 7 here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. If at any time we're a little down, or a lot down, or we're depressed, the Bible is what will help us rejoice. The Bible is the key. Not some self-help book. You know, not some psychological counseling. Not chocolate. I didn't hear any amens. I heard some giggles. But of course, I didn't hear anybody wanting to throw me out either. Not pizza. You know, these things are not going to rejoice us. Now, I think chocolate might have worked for me once. Maybe. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be our hearts tuned into God. You know, realizing that this thing that we're focused on is really not as big as we want to make it out to be. It's really small when we think about it. But the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And that's so much of it. Do we have the fear of God? You know, is God on the throne of our heart? Not chocolate. The fear of the Lord. Now, chocolate's good. I'm not saying cut out all chocolate. Now, I'm not talking about a chocolate-free diet. For some of us, that might make us need some rejoicing if we had to cut out. And you notice I said us, right? Or we. So I like chocolate as well. James 1, James chapter 1. What is brother? Does brother Jim love peas? Is that what he likes? Or is that who? What? What's that? Pastor's peas? Which one doesn't like peas? Brother Jim. Okay, brother Jim doesn't like peas. So we know not to give him any peas when he's looking down. That'll put him over the edge. Just put him right over the edge. James 1, James 1, verse 22. James 1, 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. This is the basis of change, is the Bible. The perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Out at the sheriff's camp, you know, sometimes I just talk about blessing, success, prosperity. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody does. But the problem is that not everybody wants to make the choices that it takes to get there. You know, I know I've mentioned the one guy who within 3 or 4 months of us going out to the sheriff's camp, he had been there three times. And, you know, you try to talk to him about what is causing this, you know, and he had all the answers. Well, in reality, he had none. Because the last time he was there, he come out to the Bible study without permission, so they just took him back to the county. But people that want to change can. Every one of us can. It all starts with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to repent of our sins and trust in him. It's not by baptism. It's not by works. You know, I was trying to talk to the guys out there Thursday night about that. You know, because there's a lot of mixed up ideas from, it's kind of, I'd like to do a study on this. I'd like to study just the different kinds of music. Just the lyrics. I don't need to listen to the other stuff. Just the lyrics that talk about God. Because there's all kinds of music out there that talks about God in a false way. In a false way. That God's just going to tolerate this, and God's okay with this, and Jesus was like this. And it's just their minds are corrupted as a result of it. Because you can't get your theology from Hollywood music or Nashville music or whatever. It's got to be from the Word of God, because right here, that is what is going to perfect us. That is what is going to perfect us. Let's look in Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Whole idea here about being perfect, it's what God wants for us. It is what His desire is for us. It's what we should be working toward all the time. All the time. Psalm 101 and verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That's David here. That was his desire. That's God's same desire for us. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know, and this verse here is in the context of you're treating your enemies properly. You know, that's tough. People wrong us, the natural instincts get riled up, and we want to defend ourselves. We want to prove them wrong. We want to get back at them. But verse 43, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. I might have already mentioned this once. I'm probably talking about it too much. But now that the barn's gone out at our place, you can see the sunrise. It's awesome. I'm actually up early enough to see it. It's awesome. You know, you can see it coming up over the trees. It's beautiful. But, you know, me sitting there rejoicing that the Lord's provided another day, that it's going to be a sunny day, that blessing is experienced by the lost guy down the road. God's good to everybody. I mean, just the fact that He gives us time to repent and be saved. I mean, some people, decade after decade after decade, That just shows how long-suffering he is. You know, and even with us as believers, we don't always respond right. And he's patient with us. I mean, if there was a lightning bolt that came out of the sky every time we didn't repent of something after 2 or 5 or 10 minutes or even a day later, there'd be a constant thunderstorm everywhere, all the time. But God has, like as it says here, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, excuse me, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. People that wrong us, God expects us to respond lovingly toward them. And that's his, the 2 Corinthians 13. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians 13. He expects this of us. Part of the problem that we have sometimes is we lower our expectations of ourselves. And we kind of make excuses. We kind of slack off, maybe is the word. I don't. And you'll notice I'm saying we. We're all in the same boat when it comes to that. It only takes a moment. It only takes one bad choice. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. You know, and see, these are all related. These are not isolated things here. We can't walk in the Spirit and live how God wants us to live if we don't let God comfort us. Because when we face difficult times, if we do not let God comfort us, we will question God. Our heart can get hard. And we can have bitterness. And if we're not in one mind with others, if there's constantly conflict. Now, as much as lieth in you, live at peace with all men, the Bible teaches. But we need to be one-minded with those around us. And we need to live in peace with them. You know, we can't be perfect if we're arguing. 2 Timothy, let's see. I think it's 2:24. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Must not strive. And then it goes on to say, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. For people that like to strive, gentleness is a challenge. I can speak from experience. You know, sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill. That's my wife is helping me. She says, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. And sometimes I say, thank you. I need to say thank you more often. But we need to live at peace. We need to live at peace. I don't know if I can say it correctly, but I remember a preacher saying, he that is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Meaning, if I just make somebody see it my way, they were convinced against their will, they didn't change their mind at all. They just gave up on my own stubbornness. Just agreed, but believed the same thing. You know, it's kind of like the person that prays just to get the person out of their house because they're tired of them bothering them or whatever. But it's God's desire for us to be perfect. 1 John 1, let's turn there. It's God's will for us, and it needs to be the desire we have for ourselves. But when we struggle, when we do fall short, we need to remember 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves. You know, we need to have a broken and a contrite heart and a broken and a contrite spirit. We need to humble ourselves. You know, and part of that humbling is seeing, hey, Jesus was on the cross and he was there for my sin, mine. I put him there. We need to see that. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's right there ready. When we do fall short, he's right there ready. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Sometimes we are boneheaded, stubborn. You know, we might not humble ourselves right away. You know, in those times when somebody, well, number one, the Holy Spirit is trying to convince us, or somebody else is trying to convince us, we need to listen. We need to listen. Because if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. It's not about the other person that might be trying to help us. It's about us and God. It's about us and God. Let's look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. And when other people fail us, we need to have the right response to them. Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There shouldn't be limits. Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You know, and Jesus said 70 times seven. 70 times seven. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10. We got just a couple more verses here. 2 Corinthians 10, some enemies of perfection. Some enemies. The first one is comparing. Comparing. This is not about us and anybody else. This is about us and the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Comparing is not a good thing. Because, you know, we can always find somebody to compare ourselves to that we can kind of step up on them and make ourselves a little loftier than we really are. You know, make ourselves look like we're something at their expense. Let's turn to chapter 3 here, 2 Corinthians 3. Don't compare. We're not to compare. And then verse 5 of chapter 3, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, whenever we think we're sufficient in ourselves or competent in ourselves, let him that thinketh he stand to take heed lest he fall. You know, when we think but we all can relate to this. Guys, okay, we got paid, took care of the bills. We're like, oh, hey, we got a little extra. You know, maybe we could do this or how, and then something we forgot about comes in or something happens, something breaks. You know, we think we got it all set. Well, no, we don't. We need to trust the Lord in those situations, but that could be anything. Not just with money. It could be in a relationship. It could be who knows what. But our sufficiency is of God. It is of God. And then let's turn to chapter 4 right here. Another one is, I know this might step on toes just like the chocolate thing I just said, but impatience. Impatience. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it would be nice if it did. You know, you got saved one day, you know, baptized the next, perfection the next. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But then we'd be dead, which would be good anyway. But it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. Verse 16 of chapter 4 here, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." It's a day by day thing. It's a moment by moment thing. You know, the songs, "I need thee every hour, moment by moment, day by day." That's a song too, right? Probably my son knows all the numbers of those, since he knows where the hymns are. But we need to be aware of these things, not allowing comparisons with other people to stand in the way of what God wants to do in our heart and life. Not thinking that we're competent, that we're sufficient in ourselves. It's not true. We all could probably give testimony of a time or 10 or 100 where we thought we were, and it didn't work out that way. It doesn't happen. And then impatience. And see, that just like we need patience, well, let me back up. Just like we need God to have patience with us about the inward man being renewed day by day, I know this will come as a surprise, but we need to have that same patience with those we live with to have that same, you know, process occur. And those we go to church with and other people that we come in contact with. Because it's not a, I mean, we all wish, you know, it's just, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Thursday night, there was two guys out there at the at the meeting, and hadn't seen either one of them before. I was kind of surprised, because last Thursday, there was four guys out there. Three of them I had seen several times, and another guy was his first time out. You know, so I was kind of preparing for something to build on what I had talked to them about last Thursday. Well, then some two brand new guys came out, and so that kind of changed my thinking a little bit. You know, because I had contact with those other four, kind of knew them a little bit, and had talked about some things. But just give them salvation. You know, and they're just like anybody else. They got misconceptions. You know, they've got part of a truth and then part of a lie, which means it's all a lie. But we need to continue to pray, you know, for the guys out there. And even guys that have already gone. You know, that, I mean, it might not be by name, but God knows who they are. You know, that God would continue the word that's been given. They've got a lot of word out there. They've got a lot, and they've got a lot of opportunity. Guys have Bible courses, tracts that they've been given. You know, that they would actually pick them up and read them and do something with them. You know, even the guys that are out already. But it's a privilege. It really is a privilege to be able to go out there. And we need the word. You know, in our quest for being what God wants, to be perfect as he wants us to be, we need the word every day. Those guys out there, they need the word. And that's going to be the whole key. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love. We do thank you for your patience with us, Lord. And we just pray, Father, to, well, Lord, just to not take that for granted, Lord, but to be diligent, to be what you want us to be. And, Lord, that's a moment-by-moment thing as we take every thought captive and allow your word ministered to us from your Holy Spirit to be what is in charge of our thinking and our goals, and Lord, just to have the wisdom that we need to deal with the different situations we have each day. And we do thank you once again just for the privileges to be here, and just pray you continue to bless in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.